Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 64 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Wednesday, October 13th, 2015, and I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S, and also on Instagram with the same name. I apologize for the gap in recording. The last time I recorded, by the time I would have recorded the next time, it had only been a few days, so I didn't want to record then. And then, I think there's been a week in there where I didn't also. But it turned out today was a great day. I have a couple of doctor's appointments, and so I have some time at home. It is a beautiful day here in Houston. We are having some desert-like weather, which is kind of weird since we're about 45 minutes from the coast. But, instead of being super humid, we have dry air, which is making it cold in the mornings, or cool in the mornings, and pretty hot in the afternoons. It's still getting up to about the 90s. But I am taking advantage of a comfortable morning and sitting out on my patio and talking to you guys. You may hear some ambient noise. I do live right outside the city, so I can hear the freeway, which is about a mile away. Hopefully that's not too annoying. And then there is a crazy loud bird in the background too, which is desperately wanting to be heard this morning. But I am taking advantage of the beautiful weather. So what are we going to talk about today? A little bit of what I've been doing, which has not been a whole lot. An FO that may be old. I can't remember if I talked about it in the last podcast or not. Works in progress, spinning, events-ish, in the kitchen, and on the nightstand. So we have a full episode today. You may also, I doubt you can hear it, but Oliver is at the window, and he can see me out here, and he desperately wants out here, but he will not be an outside cat. I won't let that happen. So he's just going to have to suck it up. So what have I been up to since I talked to you last? Let's see. First thing of interest, the week after I podcast last, probably a few days after I podcast last, my husband and I went to the Houston Gem and Mineral Show, which is run by the Houston Geological Society, I believe. Oh, I could be wrong about that. Hey, more loud birds. I'm not exactly sure. I think it may be Houston Geological Society. One of my husband's coworkers and a neighbor of ours is, and his wife, are very active in this particular community. And so we hear about this show every year. And this is the first time we've been in probably 3 years, I think. We often get free tickets from them to go. And it's held up north of Houston, so it's about a 30-minute drive for us. But it is really cool. So I had been to Stitches, Texas one weekend and then went to this the next. And if you've ever been to a gem and mineral show, or if you have never been to one, there's lots and lots of vendors selling just stones, semi-precious otherwise. There are a lot of just rough minerals. My husband really likes to go. He teaches astronomy, so he likes to go for the meteorites. He goes to get meteorite samples. And I like to just look at the pretty beads and the jewelry. I don't usually buy very much, but this year we bought a little pendant with an amber bead on it for my daughter for her birthday. And a couple of little pendants for my son, who may or may not wear them, but they were cheap. And I've been collecting these little cat figurines for the past several years when we've gone to the show that are carved out of some type of stone. So I have a collection of those. So I bought myself one of those, and I think that's about it. And Jimmy came home with lots of meteorite samples. So it was a lot of fun. We were there for a couple of hours, I suppose. Then, as I mentioned, my daughter's birthday came and went. Her birthday was October 9th, this past Friday. She turned 19, and she was not with us, as she is in college in North Carolina. And that was a little weird to not spend her birthday with her, but she seemed to have a really good day, and we FaceTimed with her in the evening, and I sent her a care package with some baked goods in it and a gift certificate for a restaurant in town so that she and her friends could go out and have dinner on us. So that went well. And then what else? There was something else. Oh, nothing has happened yet, but my son is super excited because I got him an appointment for tonight to get his hair cut and dyed pink. So, Mom, when you are out here in a couple of weeks, Eli will have pink hair. So, he is really excited about this. There's no reason for him to not do it, so I'm letting him do it. I would have loved to have been able to do that kind of thing. And I still kind of do a little bit. I have a little pink in my hair, but not much. So that's pretty much all that we've been up to. We're supposed to go to Austin this weekend, and I think it's just going to be a day trip. We usually stay with friends, but I think this time I'm kind of feeling a little homebody-ish. So I think maybe we're just going to get up early Saturday morning, go up there, let him do his class, and I'm going to hang out with some friends. Maybe go to the book festival, maybe not, and then come home, you know, at night. Probably have dinner with our friends and then drive home. It's only about a 2.5-hour drive, so that's not so bad. So let's talk about some knitting. The one finished object I wanted to talk about, like I said, I'm not sure if I talked about it before. It was the magnetite, I mean, I know I've talked about it. I'm not sure I had finished it. It was the magnetite cowl by Lisa Mutch, and I used Mrs. Crosby carpet bag in the squid ink colorway. And this is just a very simple cowl. There's a hat that matches that I've also made. And it's just, I think, let's see, probably eight sections of ribbing that vary. The types of ribbing you do vary. And it was a lot of fun. And super easy, quick knit. And I really like the way it looks on, so I'm eager for some cool weather so I can wear that. That's the only finished object I have. I have worked on some other things, cast on a few things since I talked last. I've just cast on one thing, maybe two. I think I've cast on two things since I talked to you last. So in no particular order, I have been working on my Socks on a Plane, which is a free pattern by Laura Linneman, using Desert Vista Dye Works and Zombodies Eating Candy Corn. And I haven't worked on this very much since the last time I talked to you. I think I'm on the last pattern repeat before the ribbing. So I'm hoping that maybe I can get that first sock finished today. I know that I won't finish these before Halloween, which is kind of a bummer since they are Halloween themed, but that's okay. That never stops me from wearing my socks. So that is going well. I have also been working on the Gorgeous Goddess Shawl, which is a free pattern by Dawn Ryden from the Anticraft. And I'm using Dream and Color Smushy and Green Lantern. And I am about, 67% done. I think I've done 112 rows of 168. So that is a super easy pattern. And it's a gift for a friend. So that needs to be finished by the end of October. Well, it needs to be finished by the end of October. But I don't think it really matters. I don't think I'll see this friend to gift it to her until probably the first weekend or so of November. So it will easily get done. I also have been working on the Harry Potter house sweater. I had just barely started this the last time I recorded. Yeah, I had started it the Sunday, and I think I recorded on a Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday. I have made fabulous progress on this. I have finished the back, and I started the front on Monday. And I have finished the bottom ribbing and am two rows into the body past the ribbing. So I've generally been working on that at work. I can get about 8 rows done if I bring my lunch and eat in the staff room. I can do 2, well, of the, before the decreases, I can get 2 rows done during a break, and then, you know, I think I did 6 rows over lunch yesterday, so I made a lot of progress. I'm very pleased with it. The gauge seems right. The size seems right. When I look at the back of it, I can easily see that it seems like it will fit Laura with no problem. So I'm really happy with that. For that, I'm using Valley Yarns, Valley Superwash DK in Steel Gray, which is color 02. And then the stripes that are only on the bottom and then around the cuff are in Classic Navy, and I believe it's silver. I don't have the, I seem to have misplaced the ball band for that, but it's a very light gray. I think I may have mentioned in the podcast last time that I'm using the Ravenclaw colorway from Harry Potter, I'm making a Ravenclaw house sweater from the Harry Potter books, and apparently in the books, the colors are one thing, and in the movies, there's something else for Ravenclaw. They're always blue, but one of them is silver, and one of them is bronze. And I'm not sure which is which, but Laura chose to go with the silver. And I kind of think it would have looked a little better with the bronze. I think it would have looked more Ravenclaw-y, if you ask me. But it's going to be a really nice sweater, regardless. Very pleased with that. And then I cast on a pair of Skew socks, which is a free pattern from Knitty by Lana Holden. And I'm using Undead Yarn in her, in Heidi's Vampiri base in Children of the Corn Flowers. And I have only done, I think I've just done a toe on this. I really, really wanted to cast on something with the yarn. And, sorry, I'm laughing because, Oliver has moved to another window in a different part of the house and is staring at me. Anyway, I really wanted to cast on something and got the toe done on it, but then I am really, really focusing on the house sweater and the gorgeous goddess shawl since those are both under a time crunch. For the Skew socks, I was really debating what to do with that yarn. I kind of didn't want to do socks with it. I was looking at various different shawls that I could do with self-striping. And then at the last minute, I saw someone on Instagram had posted a picture of their Skew socks. And I was like, no, that's what I want to do. I've been wanting to make those socks for a while, and it seems like this is a good opportunity. So that is what I'm doing. I am a little nervous. They look like they are a little fiddly so far. I'm just on the toe, so nothing weird yet. I think I'm just at a part where we're going to start working in the bias. So we'll see how those go. And then one more thing that I cast on, and I don't remember if I had cast this on already. I don't think I had cast it on before I recorded last. Oh, maybe. No. I hadn't, but I was talking about it. I cast on a Ricky hat. And I'm using Western Sky Knits Magnolia DK in the Mountain High colorway, which is blues and browns, and it's really, really pretty. It's an MCN base, so it's super soft and squishy, and it's a super easy pattern. I know some people don't like the purling in the round. It's not bothering me at all. I'm probably about a third of the way done with that. And again, I'm not really working on that very much right now, just because I'm trying to get these other things finished. So those are all of my works in progress. Spinning, I finished, actually I don't know, I don't think I had started this when I recorded last, but I spun a braid of fiber optic merino silk in the raspberry cream colorway, which is a beautiful gradient that goes from cream to a light pink to a little bit darker pink to a raspberry to a very dark raspberry. And it is absolutely gorgeous. And I decided to spin that to try to keep the gradient. And once I started spinning it, I could tell it would be a really nice single. So I spun it as a single, and I spun it from the cream to the dark pink. And then the second half, I had already divided it. So what I did was took the second half and did that one from the dark pink to the cream. So all together on one bobbin. And I ended up getting about 440 yards of a fingering weight single. And I can't wait to do that. I think I'm going to make a lacy Bactus with that. That's probably what I'm going to do. Something that has worked side to side that I can just keep going until I have done the whole thing. So I want to use every last bit of the yarn to get the full gradient effect. So I wanted something that was not a finite pattern. So that's probably what I'm going to do. Not sure when I'll cast that on. I'm kind of eager to, but at the same time, I've got so many things on the needles right now. And then after I finished that, I started a skein of Greenwood Dye Works that I bought at, it's actually a bundle. I bought a bundle from Greenwood Dye Works at Stitches Texas. It's a bundle of 5 braids that are a gradient in the Meteor Shower color, and it goes from a kind of a dark rosy pink to kind of a reddish purple into a purple into a kind of a blue purple, and then now into a kind of a denim-y blue, maybe a little darker than that. And it's heathered BFL, and it is turning out really nice. It's spinning. I just really, really am enjoying spinning this, and it's spinning up really fast. I will probably finish the first half of this today, and then may even get to start on the second half. And I am going to just 2-ply that together. I'm going to do the same color progression for both of them, and it should make a really nice gradient. I'm really happy with that. So that's all of my knitting and spinning. Events. The only thing coming up, I am going to be going to the International Quilt Festival in a couple of weeks. I know that there are some people in the area who may go, and if you would like to meet up, just let me know, or if you just see me and want to say hello, please do. I will be there with my mom, who is a free spirit on Instagram and Ravelry. And I'm sure she would be happy to meet people too. I am speaking for you, Mom. In the kitchen. So I am certain that I have made some things that are not sweet that would be interesting to talk about, but I can't remember them. So obviously they were not that memorable. But I do have 3 sweet recipes to talk about today. The first is carrot cake cupcakes, which is out of the Sally's Baking Addiction cookbook that I talk about all the time. And these turned out so good. They're just a basic carrot cake recipe. I don't really think there was anything special. They didn't have nuts in the cupcakes themselves, and they had a really nice light cream cheese icing where you sprinkle some pecans over that if you want to. And these were so good. They were really, really good. These I made the same weekend that we went to the Gem and Mineral Show. And our friends who are involved with this had given my husband a little fish fossil that they were selling. And in return, we took them some cupcakes, and we got home. They live about 5 minutes away from us, and we got home, and they immediately were texting us talking about how great they were. And, of course, we had a whole pan of them that we definitely didn't need to eat because Eli, crazy boy that he is, does not like cupcakes. And so we had, I had made 12, and we had, I think, 8 left at this point. So, you know, I asked if they wanted more, and sure enough, they actually, you know, most people will not accept more. They were like, well, yeah, actually, we would. So we brought more to them the next night. And I thought that was pretty funny. But they were really, really good. I highly recommend that recipe. And then this past weekend, that was another thing I was going to mention about what I have been doing. We had a girls' night at my friend Katie's house on Saturday. And I made dessert for that. And I wanted something super easy. I was kind of busy doing a lot of things around the house and had a lot of other things that I needed to do on Saturday as well. So I didn't want something that was going to be super time consuming. So I just did a search, or not even a search, I just went through my Pinterest boards to find something easy. And this was probably one of the easiest desserts I've ever made. And it was a chocolate pudding dump cake. So it only has 3 ingredients. Or 3 components. You get a box of instant chocolate pudding. Make the pudding as directed on the box. And then a cake mix, a chocolate cake mix. And then chocolate chips. So you make the pudding, mix in the cake mix into the pudding mix. Put it in a pan and then top it with a couple of handfuls of chocolate chips. And I used, instead of just using all chocolate chips, I had a whole bunch of different types of chips in the house. So I used chocolate and semi-sweet chocolate, white chocolate, and then butterscotch. And it turned out really, really good. It was very moist because of the pudding and not super, super sweet. I think it helped that I used the varying different chocolate chips. It just wasn't that overwhelming chocolate taste. But it was really good. I would definitely make it again. And then the other thing I made were apple cider donuts, baked apple cider donuts. I had seen, people talking about Rhinebeck, and I won't be at Rhinebeck, and I don't foresee being able to go anytime in the near future. So I was very curious about apple cider donuts. It sounded so good. And I have a donut pan, so I decided to look and see if there were any recipes. And sure enough, my favorite, Sally, from Sally's Baking Addiction, had published a recipe for apple cider donut holes, and you can also just make them into donuts. And so I made that Sunday morning. It was a little more time intensive than I thought it would be, and it wasn't hard by any means. It just took a little bit longer than I anticipated. And those turned out really well too. So that one you can Google, or I can put a link in the show notes or on Ravelry. And the chocolate pudding dump cake, I'll put a link to also. So those are my 3 recipes for this week. And they all turned out great. As for plans for more baking this week, I don't have any yet. I think the next recipe up that I was going to try in Sally's Baking Addiction Cookbook was a pumpkin, it was like chocolate pumpkin bread or something like that. So maybe I'll make that this weekend. On the nightstand, the first thing I want to talk about is The Martian, which everybody has talked about. I have had that on my list to read for a very long time. And with the movie coming out, I decided I wanted to read it. Although, actually, I didn't actually realize how quickly the movie was coming out. A lot of people have been talking about and decided. We actually owned it. My husband had read it on Kindle, so I decided to stop what I was reading and read that, and I was really glad I did. That was such a good book. So that's The Martian by Andy Weir. And if you haven't read it, even, it is very science-y. There's a lot of numbers, but you don't really have to pay attention to the numbers. Kind of skim over those. It's the story that matters. And he's so sarcastic, and it's just such a good book. And then I finished that on a Friday, and then we went and saw it the next Saturday, or the next day, that Saturday. And the movie was really, really good too. The movie was fantastic. You don't have to have read the book to get it. In fact, I kind of wish that I had read, there maybe been a little bit more time between the two, because there were a few discrepancies, but not very many at all. Overall, it was very, very true to the book. And I would highly recommend it. And if you can see it in 3D, I would recommend that too. Although I bet it would be good no matter what. And then the only other thing that's not true. I am reading one thing and then I'm listening to something. I am reading The Crimson Petal and the White by Michael Faber. And I had started this several years ago, but I had the hardback copy of it, and it's a 900-page book. And that was just, there's no way I'm holding a book like that. So I had decided that at some point I would read it on Kindle. So I decided to read that recently, bought it on Kindle, and I'm a little more than a third of the way through it. Like I said, it's 900 pages. It's not a super slow read, but it's not a fast read either. And I'm going to read the summary for this. Meet Sugar, a 19-year-old prostitute in Victorian London who yearns for escape to a better life. From the brothel of the terrifying Mrs. Castaway, she begins her ascent through society, beginning with William Rackham, a perfume magnate whose lust for sugar soon begins to smell like love. She meets a host of lovable, maddening, unforgettable characters as her social rise is overseen by assorted preening socialites, drunken journalists, untrustworthy servants, vile gutter snipes, and whores of all kinds. That actually makes me really eager to read more, because I am still clearly very much at the beginning of Sugar's story. She is with William Rackham, and I'm very eager to see what her social rise will be. It's kind of a, that summary is a little strange. It focuses on Sugar, but it also focuses on William Rackham a lot and his family. Or at least the part I am in. So it is Sugar's story, I suppose, but it's very much tied up in other stories, other character stories as well. And then, what was it? The terrifying Mrs. Castaway. I didn't really find Mrs. Castaway that terrifying. She was a madam, but, that's about it. If you are turned off by sexual content, you would not like this book. It's not pornographic, but it does give details of sexual acts occasionally, and I could see that it would definitely be a turnoff for some people. For me, usually it's just like a sentence or two. The main character is a prostitute in Victorian England. And it doesn't gloss over those details, basically. I am really enjoying the book. I was very hesitant because I had started it before. I couldn't remember exactly why I put it down, or if it was one that I had been, reluctant to give up on, but wasn't sure I would like. I am very much enjoying it. So if it sounds like something you're interested in, I would recommend it. And especially, keep in mind that you're in it for the long haul. It is a long book. And then the only other thing I would say I'm reading, I am listening to Before I Fall by Lauren Oliver. And it's a YA book. I don't know, I may have talked about this one the last time I recorded. I think maybe I did. If so, I'm still listening to it. I'm only listening while I'm spinning, so it's not going very quickly. The main character I remember talking about this. She dies in a car accident, but then she has to relive her last day over and over and over. I don't know how many times yet. I'm probably about halfway done with that, and I really am enjoying it. I think I might enjoy it more if I were listening to it regularly, but I'm only getting like 15 to 20 minute chunks at a time. And I think part of it also, my loan had run out on overdrive for this. So I had about 2-week gap where I wasn't listening to it all, and I've recently picked it back up, but I suspect that my loan will run out again before I actually finish it again, so I may end up, you know, with this disjointed experience of this book. But I am enjoying it. It's very much a mean girl type book, because the main character is not a very, well, I won't say she's not a nice person. She does not act very nice. She's got that mean girl thing. She's super popular, and she and her friends are not the nicest people. But I think that she has a good heart, and I suppose we'll find that out the further we go. So that is it for this week. I hope to record again soon. I'm trying to stay on the schedule, but then I keep recording late, and that kind of throws my schedule off. Today is the 13th. My mother will be coming to visit the last weekend of October, and hopefully I will record before then. If not, maybe I can coerce her into recording with me while she's here. That would be a treat. So that's it for this week. I hope you all have a great week and you enjoy your knitting time and your food time. If you have any recipes you'd like to share, if you want to talk about anything, come on over to the Stitches, the Kitchen Stitches Ravelry group and share with me. I'd love to hear from you. Have a great day. Bye.